Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, James Hamm set to join us here in just a couple of minutes. Got multiple baseball games on here in the studio. We have lived through multiple different versions of this Sacramento Kings season as they clinched their playoff spot. They clinched their postseason spot, I should say, yesterday as they have a locked-in playing spot. The question is, will it be the 9 or the 10 spot? The Kings can clinch the 9th spot. They can clinch a home playoff game, a home play-in game tonight. They would have to beat the Denver Nuggets and then the Lakers. Would have to beat the Dallas Mavericks tonight in Luka's return to Dallas. You think it's a good thing that game's getting like it's over with today, this year?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like the off-season schedule makers and like fans would have obsessed over Luka's the return. Scheduling of that game next year had they missed it.
The thing about it is, I think it is a good thing.
Oh, by the way, sorry, I'm so sorry. Luka's technical that he was thrown out for. Was rescinded.
As it should have been.
He was thrown out of the game, though.
Yeah.
You can't get that back. Yeah. He was thrown out of the game.
It was
the
a
NBA one-point
game
like,
the fourth whoop. Quarter when it happened.
Whoops. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. That is such a – ooh, that's tough.
I think
that
the Luka and Max thing tough. Lasts for a couple seasons.
Oh, that's – I was so? Going to say that. I think unlike – for the most part, unlike Fox and the Kings in Sacramento, Luka and the Mavs is – It's gonna be a while.
It's not the same energy, but that's like kind of LeBron Cleveland type, where it's gonna be a story.
Yeah, but Luka was traded.
Yeah, it's not gonna be hostile.
Like he didn't leave.
It's not gonna be hostile to him.
Yeah,
it's gonna be hostile to Dallas. It's gonna be a big story every time. I think it's gonna be national TV. You know, every time. Mm-hmm. I think that one's gonna last for a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. I don't. Okay. I think I disagree, but I think next year it'll probably be a big deal. They'll schedule it for a.
They'll have them on MLK.
They might. They might. So Luka can call someone the P word.
Oh, man. Luka. So Shaq actually brought up a good point last night. on the postgame show. He said one of the reasons why Luka got thrown out in that game, obviously it was the second technical, yada, yada, yada. But because he's always...
I got you. That's me.
Because he's always complaining, it wasn't out of the realm of possibility that the refs were like, yo, he's talking to me, he's complaining again. And he's like, he probably got that because, like, obviously it was wrong. He wasn't talking to him, but he complains all the time.
But you can't be wrong, though.
True.
Like, you're if you're an official in that situation, in that game scenario, you can't be wrong.
You can't be wrong, but I understand. I don't want to say I agree, but I understand. Like,
for a second technical, I don't think you could do that.
Kurt, why are we having Kenny paraphrase when...
Wow.
Yeah, we do have the
audience. We have Shaq here. Right.
Sorry, James. I apologize in advance for this.
It's okay.
You know, Luka, I watch a lot of his games, and, you know, he's a guy that I don't want to say complaining, but constantly on the refs. And in a situation like that, when he's talking to a fan and the ref is right there, that could lead to them constantly. James, I don't want to hear no. James, you don't know nothing about this, so don't talk about it. Or you hadn't talked to the fans, so I'll talk to him. In that situation, you gotta understand. The ref may not know, and Luka has to stop all that because you just don't know when he's gonna.
It's great. It's just that the impression never stops. Like, that's the problem.
With people are going crazy for it. Look at it.
Nobody went crazy
John Poles,
for it.
How did he say it?
Nobody you know, went no crazy voice, for
and
it.
And then John Poles, look at how happy he is after. Yes. Brandon S., three laughing emojis.
meanwhile, Kyle brings up the best point. Drake was yelling and clapping in refs' faces and got nothing. Drake.
He threw an elbow in Sanguine's face, too.
Could rock bottom an official and they'd be like, oh, Draymond, stop it. Draymond literally has to physically harm somebody to get a technical foul. And they threw Luka out of a 1-point game. Because he cussed at a fan, and the official thought he was talking to him.
I mean, it is unfortunate, but it is understand. He's looking right at the ref. Have you seen like the angle? The ref is right in the line, and if Luka turns around and says, "F,"
it was enough for the officials.
F and P.
It was enough.
Like,
for
oh,
the,
what
the? And we know that's what he said. It was enough for the officials to rescind it, though, or the league to rescind it. Sorry.
Yeah, because it was clearly wrong. But in that moment, and I wasn't watching the game, but if the last four times down the court, Luka's complaining about a call, he makes a bucket, turns around, and looking in the direction of the ref, says magic words,
mm-hmm.
I've had enough
of you. They are magical.
I've had enough of you. Could be the case. I don't know. I ain't going to defend Luka.
Okay.
I don't think you should be yelling that at the fans anyways.
He shouldn't.
No, I mean, at a certain point, like, you got to be responsible for your actions. So, if he's...
Yeah, but I don't think yelling at a fan, though, is a technical offense. Like, I'm not... Your point is completely valid. I just think and I know it's easy for me to say, but from an official standpoint, in that situation, if we call the game differently at the end of a game, oh, you got to swallow your whistle on that play. Yeah. You can't throw Luka Doncic out in that moment.
I got you.
You have to be aware he has a technical foul. Hey, chill, or whatever you have to say. Like you have to exercise some patience there.
You're right.
But no matter how annoying he might be.
On the flip side, RIP.
Damn shame what happened actions, the flip side is a drunk driving accident.
His actions cost him. He's earned that quick trigger or not getting the benefit of the doubt in that situation because, like James was talking about, like at some point you can't just keep going around talking to anybody that way without it costing you, whether it's money, a game, mm-hmm. something like that. Like,
can you imagine if he got suspended tonight?
I'm here for it.
Oh, is that amazing?
Well, no, that's not why they rescinded it. But was he No, I would have heard.
No, he can't be anywhere near close. Yeah, they would have freaked out last night if he was at his 16th.
They would have fired that referee.
Oh yeah, they would have lost sleep if he was at his 16th foul last night.
Yeah. Okay. So John Bull brings this up. DeMarcus did yell at a fan and got in trouble, and I can't remember if he got fined.
I think he got traded, if I remember correctly.
Not that fan.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
There was a fan in the stands behind the bench.
I remember, yeah. They were filming him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he told them they could mm-hmm. blank.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Like, they were baiting him into a reaction, and DeMarcus fell for it.
Huh.
He later used that technique to bait Grant Napier into a tweet.
He learned from his mistake.
How the tables have turned.
You're right. I can't remember what his punishment for that was, but that's I do recall.
I think
that.
It was $25,000.
Okay, so it was a
like
fine.
That?
Sure. Okay.
Hiding in my email somewhere, I could probably search my email and type in DeMarcus Cousin fine.
How many messages would come up though if you did that?
I'm trying to see. He wasn't going to get suspended, but that was 14.
Oh, that's not good.
It was close. Yeah, yeah. He's close. Mm. But they reset.
So he's at 13.
They reset in 3 days.
They,
or 3 games.
And the playoffs are like 7, right?
Yeah.
I think it's 7.
Yeah. I think Draymond's gotten suspended for those before. Yes. Wasn't that the finals?
Yeah.
Oh, Draymond.
Yeah.
Special character you are. Hammer, Kings qualify for the postseason last night, playing locked in. Does this change anything?
I don't think it changes anything for the front office. I don't think it changes anything for the player combinations that you might swap out this mm-hmm. summer. I think it actually probably does mean something for Doug Christie.
Okay.
Because I think it gives the team something that they can point to and say, look, like, we had an up-and-down season, but he took over the team 5 games under 500. He's, you know, there's a possibility that he climbs back over 500 and that this team makes not just a play-in, but you never know. Maybe there's a possibility for an actual playoff appearance. And so I think we're going to have to wait and see how it plays out. But I do think this is a little bit of a feather in Doug's cap for turning the season around again, because it sure did look like this thing was dead in the water like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and here we are in a situation where not only are they in the play-in, but it does look like they have a very good chance of hosting a play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at least, you know, sort of the best they could do at this point.
Do you think it changes anything for, like, the fan base? You know, if they were – and I'm not right now, but if they were to win 2 games and get into the playoffs – regardless of how that first round may go, do you think it changes anything for the fun? And I'll even go a step further, because I think you were talking about more so like right now. Does that scenario change anything for the personnel, the front office, for obviously for Doug Christie, if they were able to win those 2 games and get into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it. Well, I think it would for Doug for sure. I mean, I think that would be just go ahead and ring it up. Like, if he makes the playoffs, that was the reason why you made the change, because you thought you had a playoff roster and you wanted to get the team to the playoffs, right? As far as the fans, like, look, I think everybody likes Doug and everybody wants an excuse for Doug to get the job. Like, he's got to earn it. He can't just, you know, it can't just be a total mess and just everyone says, oh, he gets a job because he's Doug Christie. But I think that's where this kind of does make you feel a little bit better. Like, this 3-game win streak that, you know, again, there should have been at least a 2-game win streak and then a 2-game losing streak coming back is what I think we all kind of thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you have this 3-game win streak right here and that you're actually building maybe some momentum towards the plan, like, look, this is all good. This is, you know, this team was a hot mess. They have been since late December. And we've always been waiting for this sort of balancing out moment, and it's only 3 games. But I think the last 2 wins were convincing. I think they were solid, like, all around. And it also shows you maybe a schematic for what this team can look like, at least if you're going to build a team around DeMontis Sabonis, Zach LaVine, and DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
How different, you talked a lot about Doug Christie right there, Hammer, how different do you think this season would be right now if Mike Brown was still the head coach?
I don't know. I mean, I think it would be 100 times different.
It's an interesting domino effect because I assume if Mike Brown is still the head coach, De'Aaron Fox is probably still here.
Yeah.
That's not a guarantee, but he probably is.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that there's a good chance he would have been and that they would have gone out and made a move or two that to try to.
I mean, even if we just went chalk, LaRavia and JV are here.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah.
The only way you got those is by going and getting second round picks.
Sure. Yeah.
And then trading those second round picks for LaRavia and for JV.
It's an interesting domino effect when you just put Mike Brown back into the equation.
I'm going to guess that they would probably be around the same place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we're not talking about, oh man, they turned the whole season around and they're a 55 win team. I mean, they're a game over 500. When Doug took the team over, they were five games under 500. So you've improved by four games at this point, and you could give those back in the next two games.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't think much would be different, and I say that, you know, not dissing anybody, but also saying like I don't think they would have plummeted without Mike Brown, or excuse me, with Mike Brown. I think they would have found a way at some point in the season to start playing a little better basketball and find themselves in the ninth spot or maybe even in the eighth spot or something like that. And I think it would have been a different road traveled, but I think they would have been around the same spot they're in right now.
I think they would have leveled out too. I think that there would have been a moment where everybody got in the same room and like, hey, let's just hash this thing out and set whatever like personality issues we're having right now aside, and let's just get back to the basics and be a team again. Because I know like in the games right before De'Aaron got traded, De'Aaron played extremely hard. Like he was out there hooping.
Yeah.
And some of his teammates weren't. Like you could tell the whole thing was off. And I'm not going to blame those guys for like not feeling all the way in on what was happening. But at the same time, like there should have been a point like way back before Mike got fired where they pulled everybody together and said, hey, look, like everyone's going to be here, or for the most part, everyone's going to be here. And if you're not, we'll have a conversation right before it happens and we'll let you know. But this is a group we're going to fight with. This, we got to figure it out. Nobody's walking through that door to save the day. And it just felt like they never had that moment. So I don't know.
I'm not sure. It's interesting. Like I wonder, you know, I tried to put Mike Brown into the equation and think about what this Kings team would look like. I tried to put De'Aaron Fox back into the equation. Maybe with Doug Christie as the head coach, the figure it out during the summer thing and see what this team looked like. I couldn't settle on an answer. The one that I really felt like if you talk about just something being a wash was if Mike was gone, but De'Aaron was still here. I don't think anything would be that different. I don't think De'Aaron, and I'm not saying this is not, I don't think De'Aaron's leading this team anywhere. And I also think you should have had a lingering question is De'Aaron ever going to get this surgery? Like his hand is jacked up. And I don't think he tapped out. I don't think anything like that happened in San Antonio. I think it was, hey man, go get your hand. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
we all know we're not going anywhere.
Vic's out. Go ahead.
Go get your hand fixed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we all believe, even from a basketball, this is the right decision. Would he have continued to push through it here? Would that have been a detriment to him? Would it have been a detriment to the team? Like, it's so many, there's so many interesting subplots to the season that this Kings team has had that I don't know. I'm kind of with you, James, in the sense that maybe Doug Christie in this version of the Sacramento Kings is worth one game, two games. It's not worth 10. And the crazy part is I don't think Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox are worth 10. Mm-hmm. Like this season was heading in a certain direction. Where would DeRozan be if Mike Brown was still here? Yeah. How would he be feeling? Like, would Keon Ellis be playing? Where would Malik be? There's a lot of different components to this. Speaking of Hammer, did you get anything on Malik today?
No.
Did we miss it?
Nothing? No, I haven't seen anything on Malik. We do have an update on on
Keegan, which wasn't really an update, except he's day to day, and he's out tonight.
Yeah, he's day to day. He's got lumbar inflammation. That's what they're calling it now.
That
which
sounds
is,
terrible.
That's just a
His
low back,
back hurts.
Just low back inflammation. That's all. Yeah, we don't have anything on Monk yet. He is out. I mean, we know that. But outside of that, you know, I'm not sure. This is, you know, calf injuries are always dangerous.
Yeah.
And so we don't know if it's a strain or if it's just soreness or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're hoping, you know, I didn't even see anything like watching it. Like all of a sudden he was heading to the locker room.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if he had something grabbed during a timeout or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It could just be like dehydration at that point. But now we're talking two games he's missed. I think he needed a bit of a break. Like just the going back to the bench thing just really hasn't felt all that comfortable for him. And, you know, I think he was in his own head a little bit, like way too many turnovers. The jump shot's not falling. Like he was just kind of a mess. And I'm hoping that he just kind of gets to take a deep breath and say, okay, I'm okay. And then of course they make the move to go out and get Terrence Davis yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That could show you that maybe they're going to shut down Malik for the next couple of games leading into the play-in or whatever. I don't know that it's like we need to make a big, like, that it's going to be some earth-shattering thing. I mean, he wasn't at shoot-around today. He's not there yet. Mm-hmm. So even that means that, like, the likelihood of him playing, he might play tonight, but it would be more like 5 minutes or something.
You're talking about Terrence Davis.
Terrence. Okay. Yeah, if it were a blowout or something weird happened.
Man, give Terrence 30 tonight. It's national TV.
What I would say, though, is that I now that you see Terrence Davis, like, getting signed, like, why not do this when you moved Malik Monk into the starting lineup? Because that's kind of who Terrence Davis is. He's like Malik. He's not the passer that Malik is, but he's a microwave. And that's what we kept saying. Like, hey, the Kings need that bench score. They need that guy. And Terrence has always had that thing where it's, if he hits his first shot, you're in for like a good time. If he doesn't, it's usually like a wild ride, like, and it can get out of control like pretty quickly. But you know, if he was healthy, I mean, he played 30 games in the G League, so he's healthy enough to do that after popping his Achilles last year. I don't know. He makes a lot of sense for right now. He makes a lot of sense for 3 weeks ago, a month ago. You know, especially if he's played really well in the G League.
I heard you earlier and you were talking about this and you said, you know, maybe you would have liked to seen that Terrence Davis move as opposed to Markelle Fultz. And I understand that. I just know back at that time, you know, the thought was you needed a point guard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You were almost without a point guard on the roster in general. So I understood the Markelle Fultz signing in that situation, and just another ball handler. But TD at that time, you know, he would have, in theory, he would have provided, you know, scoring off the bench, the explosiveness off the bench that you talk about.
Yeah. And you know what? Everyone, well, a lot of players in the locker room, they know Terrence, and you know, they're pulling for him to get back in the league. He's a friend to a lot of the players in there. And he's a guy who, you know, you trusted in game 7, game 6 of your playoff series 2 years ago, that you had him on the court in huge minutes. One game it was spectacular, the next wasn't great, but that doesn't mean that you didn't, like, he wasn't a trusted piece of the team.
Yeah.
And so the Kings never really did, like, replace that type of player. And it was fine while Monk was on the bench. But when you put Monk in the starting lineup and you didn't have that pop, it just really, like, the whole time we're like, hey, you probably need to go find that. Add it to the list of things that you need as a team. You need that other guy that plays like Malik off the bench. So, yeah.
You mentioned the 2-2 split we thought we would see on this road trip, meaning the Washington-Charlotte wins and probably Cleveland-Detroit losses. Obviously, it didn't go that way. The Kings are bringing a 3-game winning streak into this game against the David Adelman-led Denver Nuggets. Why do you think there's been such a shift since that Wizards loss? I mean, you take care of business against Charlotte, like, that's great, that's fine. No one talks about that, and no one cares. Mm-hmm. You went on to beat the one seed and the six seed on back-to-back nights, and we are all left like, this is the same team that lost to the Wizards a couple of days ago? This is the same exact basketball team that lost to the Wizards a couple of days ago. And we're left like trying to make sense of this season.
Yeah.
And failing.
No, I don't think there's any way to make sense of this season. And I think a lot of times, you know, this team has had like the players only meeting. They've had the starters only meeting. That like they've had all the meetings.
Yeah.
Right? They've had all of them. And for me, it feels like this team, like every 2 weeks, needs like a sit down. And to be honest, that's a lot about professionalism. It's a lot about carrying things over from one game to the next, but also like showing up and being a pro. Like, and if you're going to go into a game against the Wizards and not take that serious, that's not, and I know people can say, oh, well, that's a coaching issue. They had a game plan. And you know what? Any game plan should have worked. The worst game plan in the league should have worked to go out there and beat the Wizards. Because not only are they a horrible team, not only did they trade like a couple of their good players, not only did they shut down a couple of their players, but you got to the fourth quarter and they said, hey, Jordan Poole and Sar, you're playing too well. You're not going to play here because we don't want to win this game. Like, players who are on the court are always going to play hard and try to win.
Mm-hmm.
But the Wizards did everything in their power to lose that game. And the fact that the Sacramento Kings players, didn't come in ready to compete in that game and ready to beat a team that has no interest in winning, that's on them. And like, if you need that motivation, you shouldn't be playing in the NBA.
It's a tough look.
You should be playing in the Euro League. You should be playing somewhere else. Because realistically, if you need somebody to push you to get up to beat the Washington Wizards, that's on you. And so, again, that's not me, like, protecting a coach. That's just, like, basics. You know, like, if you had five of those losses this season where they just didn't show up against bad teams, we'd say, okay, that's a trend. Because we saw that trend last year. That was a trend. They lost to five of the worst teams in the league, or four of the worst teams in the league. But this season, I don't feel like that's who they are. We certainly have had games where they play good teams where they don't show up at all and get clubbed. But a bad team like that, we really haven't had a lot of those games this season. And that was such an outlier, especially in such an important point of the season where, like, you're down to, what is it, like, at that point, 7 games, 8 games, and you're going to just give one away? Really, really strange. And so, again, I personally think that they had another, like, dinner or something out together.
That's what I was going to ask you. Maybe it's just a figment of my imagination, but didn't Doug mention that, I think, after Sunday's game? Because he was talking about, you know, it was coach speak, but he was talking about it was impressive that after a disappointing performance like that, they can come together, clear the air, have a discussion, and then respond with being able to play well like they did. I think it was Sunday, and I think that's what he was kind of alluding to, but I'm not sure. But, yeah, it sounds like they talked again.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. But, again, the reason why you have those talks is because you've lost 2 or 3 games in a row, or you've lost a bad game that you had no right losing, right? So, like, this team, it feels like every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, they get themselves back into a situation where they have to have one of these discussions. And I think when you're on the road does have this bonding effect. So I think there's a possibility they went out to dinner as a team or whatever. And you don't even need to air grievances as much as you need to sit next to each other and just go, okay, we're all in this together. And we're all just making a lot of money and playing a game we love. And we should be doing much better than this. And we should be having a good time doing it. And finding that joy again, I think, can happen very quickly. And so I wouldn't doubt that there was this type of conversation, you know, a dinner out, whatever it was, that kind of reset this team again. But you can't go through an 82-game schedule and have 25 of these meetings.
Right.
That's not the way.
Well, you can.
You can,
just,
but
just don't be 39 and 40 if you're going to do it. If you got to have 25 meetings to get to 39 and 40, those meetings aren't doing enough for you.
Yeah. Well, they're not having a lasting effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to have a meeting before the play-in game. Like, hey, let's go to Dave and Buster's and make sure we.
Trying to think, is it, what'd you say, about a week and a half, 2 weeks? Maybe they, if they talked on Thursday. Yeah, they're going to have to talk before the play-in.
Go to Domas's spot in Napa. Buddy, get together for some wine.
That's right.
Talk through this thing. As sporadic as the team has played, kind of up and down as the team has been this year, Zach LaVine, I think, has more ups than downs, but he certainly had some weird moments, not shooting very much. Not shooting super efficient, and that neither one of those was the case in the Cleveland win and the Detroit win. The last two games, they really stood out how Zach LaVine has played. You aren't the biggest Zach LaVine guy. What have you seen that has kind of switched for him in the last two games?
Well, I'm a big Zach LaVine scoring 43 points and 37 points in back-to-back games.
And by the way, he had 25 versus Charlotte. It's not like he had 10.
Yeah, yeah.
He had 25 points versus Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the problem. It's the other games where you're like, hey, man, you know, you can't, in the loss to Orlando, you can't go 3 of 8 from the field.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, there are these constant things. And when we're talking about, you know, having to reset every 5 games or every 8 games, mm-hmm. A lot of it, look at his stat line. It feels like he's one of the guys that has to reset. He starts off great, and then another great, and then sort of good, and then all of a sudden we're back at the beginning again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is something, you know, again, we've talked about, like, you can see the body of work of Zach LaVine. I haven't gone throughout his career and said, okay, you know, he's averaging 20 a game. How many 10s and how many 30s in a season? Mm-hmm. You know, because I want a bunch of 16s and 24s. I don't want a bunch of 10s and 30s. And you got to have some sort of consistency. I remember Billy Owens, one night for the Kings, for whatever reason, my camera keeps flicking on and off.
Poor James. He can't get away.
How is James getting rough internet here?
To say, he can't escape.
Just ridiculous. Again.
Like, oh, it's the
Frozen
James.
Frozen
Hammond. It's the James guy.
The kids are home.
Yeah. Like, I remember Billy Owens very
distinctly. Toby's playing games again.
Doggone it.
Sorry, James.
Follows <It's okay>. him here.
Yeah, but you have games where guys who, that's just who they are, and you know, maybe it was, oh yeah, let me look at this. For the Kings, Billy Owens had a game where he had 18 rebounds, and he did it twice. So I'm gonna click on.
Damn, he was on the boards that night.
Yeah, but the problem is the next night he had like 2, and that was Billy Owens in a nutshell. So you're always caught with this, like, hey, why are you not consistent? And it's like, well, if he was consistent, you know, he'd be a 5-time All-Star, because that's who Billy Owens was. He was that talented. But just the frustration level as a coach when you're going out there and like, hey, I don't know how to tell you to do your job. You know how to play basketball. Like, go do your thing. And you shouldn't have to be poked and prodded all the time to go out there and be who you are on the court. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that's, I think, the biggest frustrating thing. Like, again, people could, like, whether you love Domantas Sabonis or not, you have to admit Domantas Sabonis is one of the most consistent players we've ever seen in the league, certainly in a Kings uniform. He shows up every night. He plays through all kinds of injuries, and he's always, like, we can complain that he's got 6 shots here and there, but in those games, he still has 14 rebounds. He still has 8 assists. He still has all of these other things that are consistent. That's something that, you know, if this is who Zach is, you better have a great other score to go with him. Mm-hmm. Because there are going to be nights where it's just like, hey, are you going to shoot tonight? But when he's good or when he's great, it's amazing to watch. And I'm not a Zach LaVine hater. I just don't like, if you're going to bring in Zach LaVine, there has to be other moves that you make that would make sense for this team. I think him and Domas could be a devastating pair to have long term.
I just hope we get aggressive Zach. You know, because if we get aggressive Zach, if he's, what's the number we had yesterday? 18 FGAs, yeah, 18 field goal attempts.
Yep.
That seems to give the Kings the best chance to win. They don't always win. He doesn't always get 30 or 40, but that level of aggression seems to trigger a lot for this team. And that's what we're hoping that we get over the next 2 weeks leading into the playoffs, is a guy that is looking for his shots. And we always talk about, you know, he takes he doesn't force anything. He takes these perfect shots. In the last three games or so, he's taken contested shots. He's had step backs off the bounce that, you know, aren't ideal, right? He's taking those shots. He's been able to make them, but just being a threat to take those shots a lot of the times is what helps maybe open things up for Sabonis or DeRozan or Keegan when he's there, Keon, all these other guys, because he's that level of threat. And I just hope we get that type of aggressiveness over the next 2 weeks at least.
Yeah, if he's that player, he draws so much attention. And to be honest, I don't think a lot of teams are fully game planning for him right now. Like, they're game planning ways to take away Domantas Sabonis and to make life extremely difficult. I don't even think, because he's been sort of so hit and miss, like, you always fear a score like him. And when he gets hot, like, when I watch Zach LaVine, like, go into, like, plaid mode, like, there's no one in the league that could stop him when he does that. Because it's like, it's unorthodox. When he's pulling up from 30 feet, you don't see it coming. Mm-hmm. When he's like, he just takes like a lighthearted dribble, takes like two quick half steps, and boom, launches for three and hits. Mm-hmm. It's super quick, and he's starting to learn where the sweet spot is behind Sabonis on the screen. So you can see him, like, all of a sudden, he'll go around the screen and go, oh, look at all this space. Where did all this space come from? And that's the beauty of playing with Sabonis. And up until this point, I don't think he'd really found all of that. But, man, again, if this is who he's going to be, if he can be not 37 or 43, but if he can be a guy who's threatening to go for 30 at any moment, then that can be a tandem that you can build around him and Sabonis.
What stops Domas from going for 30 every night? Like, Domas, I mean, in kind of lost in because DeMar was really good against Detroit as well. But so was Domas. Mm-hmm. But Domas, like, Domas so regularly has a stat line where it's like, yeah, he had 19 points, 20 points, whatever it is. 7 of 11. You know, 8 of 12. Like, that is so often what he does, when it feels like the efficiency rate for him is always there. And I'm going to keep barking up the same tree. Why are the field goal attempts not closer to 16, 17, 18?
I think two things. Number one, he's the most unselfish player that the Kings have. And he's looking to set up his teammates as much as he is to score. And probably he's looking to set up his teammates more. I think the other thing that people miss...
Is that to a detriment?
Well, I don't know. Because I think it's easier to find scorers in the league than it is to find someone like Domas. Like, you can find scorers. They're hiding under the every rock you look. Mm. You look around, like, I mean, the Kings just went out and got Terrence Davis. He can come in tonight and score 14 points. Mm-hmm. Like, finding a scorer at the major league level, I mean, at the NBA level, isn't that difficult. It's finding guys that do all of the other dirty work. I'd also say this. How many times do we see Domas get hit? How many times do we see, when he does go to the basket, how physical that is? And how it's like him and another guy just like, slamming into each other, and it's like, you know, whoever's the strongest guy is gonna win the battle.
So that would be Stu the other day. Those were two Rams, you know, going at each other when he was guarding Sabonis.
Yeah, but how many times can you expect Domas to do that? Because there's only so many of those he has in his body. This isn't, you know, it's almost like playing defensive line or offensive line in the NFL. Like, there's only so many hits you can take. And I think throughout the game, like, if he's having that type of physical battle, mm-hmm. then what do you expect? 8 to 10 of those a game where he's going toe to toe and like trying to bully his way. He's not like Alperen Şengün, who has like 47 moves. It's pretty basic. You know what's coming, and it's going to be whether he out-physicals you to the basket. Now, can he take a few more jumpers? Sure. Can he take a few more threes or 18-footers? Okay. But at the same time, like, you have the best mid-range jump shooter in the game on your team. You've got elite, two or three elite three-point shooters. Mm-hmm. Like, he can take some of those shots, but sometimes the best shot is not for Domantas Sabonis to take a three. Sometimes it's not for him to bully his way to the rim. The key that I would say, if you want him to average 20-something a game, is to have just run more pick and rolls. Get him more easy baskets where he's in motion going to the rim, because the other ones, I mean, it's brutal watching him get beat up every single night. And I could understand why at a certain point you're like, okay, I can do eight of those or 10 of those tonight. I can't do 14 or 18 of those, because it's just, he's not going to hold up. No one could.
The one thing I'll say, and everything you said was spot on. The one thing I'll say about that, though, is, and I'd like to see a little bit more from Domas, is like kind of reading the room, so to speak.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Like, if we're in the third quarter, and you know I'm getting the Zach that's not shooting the ball tonight, and Malik maybe don't have it, or, you know, DeMar, you know he's going to shoot it, but he's the only one really scoring right now. We need a second score. All right, I got to pick up my FGAs at this point. And sometimes it doesn't feel like we see that from Domas, and that's probably what we like to see more often when we're halfway through the game and you kind of, all right, I've got a feel of what's going on here. I need to pick up the offensive aggression a little bit.
I get that, but a lot of times when you're having those games, the other team sees exactly what's happening, that Zach LaVine is not being aggressive or that Keegan Murray's not being aggressive. And so they just send a second body at Domas, and Domas starts turning the ball over. And then that's when he really takes it personal, because not only is he not making his teammates better by passing it, but he's also costing them and making mistakes. And you can see how it wears on him. And that's usually because they shrink the court and attack him and leave shooters open. And it's because the shooters around him aren't having a good night or aren't doing the basics. And so, I mean, I get it. He does have to have that a little bit more.
Take that jump shot, man.
Yeah. I mean, we might be talking 2 shots a game, like at the end of the day. And I think it's tough, because how many other mouths are wanting to be fed on this team? Like, we want 2 more shots, 3 more shots for Keegan Murray. We want 2 more shots, 5 more shots for Zach LaVine. You know, Malik Monk, we don't want to take away his 12, 13 shots a game. You, at a certain point, you do run out of shots that should go around. And, you know, I don't think, like, Trey Lyles isn't the guy who's taking too many shots. It's not Jake LaRavia who's taking too many shots. But I agree, there needs to be a balance, and I would love to see him average 21, 22 a game, because that's where I think he should be, because he's so good. But things have happened this season, and he was averaging that until this whole entire season went nuts. And then you got to reconfigure the entire team, because De'Aaron Fox is no longer there, and it just becomes a huge issue. The Giants just got a monstrous
home run. Lego, vamos, gigantes! That ball is what?
Yeah, that one in the drink.
That was a walk-off?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Shout out, yes.
Giants win. Man, shout that's their yes. third walk-off?
Yeah, they needed that one. Salvage the series.
That's the third walk-off at home, isn't it?
Wow.
Wasn't the home opener a walk-off?
Home opener Sunday.
Then the Sunday.
And this one. They were down 6-0, I think.
Who hit the first one? What's the name? Wilmer hit the second one?
Wilmer got the second one. I think Adamas got the first one.
Who?
Adamas got the first one.
Oh, okay.
Willie Adamas got the first one. Yaz got this one. They needed it. They needed it.
Giants win again.
Back at it. Let's go.
A's did not. We'll come back. A's, they can't win in Sacramento.
That's just once a week.
The way
that's
it
all.
Is.
Just once
yeah,
a week.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They got last night. Once a week. Their win for Sacramento for the week is complete. We'll come back. Hopefully, we get another win in Sacramento tonight. The Kings take on the Nuggets. I know James has thoughts about what's going on in Denver. We'll talk about that. We're dealing with KC return here with James Hamm on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
That was a joke. That was a joke. Man.
James doesn't get our sense of humor sometimes.
That wasn't my issue. My issue is whether you said that word on the air or not.
Oh, No.
James had said, because, you know, we were just talking, and he said, kill the mics. And at first I thought he said kill a mic. I was like, what you talking about, Jay? What you talking about? What's up? What's up?
Grammy award winning hip hop artist,
yeah,
kill a mic.
Like, what's up, James? Kill a mic.
I know my peeps. I have no idea.
Did you listen to Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe like you were instructed?
Not. Okay. I will listen to it on the way to the game. How
there
about
you
that?
Go.
I catch
there
a beat go. Running like Randy Moss.
You can listen to that one next. Hammer. All right, it's the Kings and the Nuggets tonight. The Nuggets are, you know, for now, kind of the center of the NBA universe. That's probably going to shift around tip-off time for the Lakers in Dallas. But you covered Mike Malone. I'm sure you had strong feelings to what happened yesterday. Surprised that Denver moved on from both Calvin Booth and Michael Malone?
I mean, look, I'm never totally surprised when a coach gets fired, except for the win. Like, when do you get fired? And I think when it came to Taylor Jenkins last week, we're all shocked. Like, 9 games left in the season, you're fourth in the standings. What are you doing? It's almost like you get to the fourth spot in the standings and you're getting fired. So Steve Kerr should look out. Like, don't be fourth, because you're about to get fired.
Steve Kerr said, we're all going to suffer the same fate.
Well, I mean, that's at the end of the day, like, coaches get fired. And, you know, we talked about this before. Doug Christie's the 10th head coach I've covered in Sacramento. That's a lot of coaches. Mm. And Michael Malone is a really good dude. But he's also really intense, and he can be very prickly, and he can be hard to work with for people around him. He's not hard to, like, I think the players love him. They love playing for him. Now, there might be some players that don't. That's always going to be the case. So no coach has the entire locker room wrapped up and everybody loves him. That's just not the way it is. I mean, we've talked about, you know, the players who in Sacramento that won't even have, that I've covered that won't comment about Greg Popovich when they played for him in the past. Like they're, everybody has their own experience, but they knew who he was. They knew who he was for the last 10 years. And Michael Malone's almost lost his job a couple of times there because he is abrasive. And, you know, if they would have waited until the offseason and let him go, I would have understood. But I also, you know, if you're Denver and you've already, like, figured out that this is what you want to do, the last thing, well, it's not the last thing you want to have happen, but what if he takes you to the Western Conference Finals? What if he somehow makes it to the finals? And you know, if he wins it, yeah, that's amazing. But if you'd already made the decision that you don't want him there anymore, that makes it really difficult. And I have a ton of respect for Michael. I think he's a great coach. Again, a great guy to cover. Really funny all the time. Really, really bright. And, you know, in a lot of ways, he reminds me of Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. You know, they are very, very good people off the court. But in a work environment, like, Mike was super abrasive here. And, like, Mike and Pete D'Alessandro, like, I can throw a ton of blame on Pete D'Alessandro for all kinds of things during his time here. But the fact is, like, you got to be able to work with people, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a point when Mike was fired, he hadn't talked to Pete D'Alessandro for 6 weeks. His general manager. Mm-hmm. That's not normal. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, they talked, of course, because they'd gone through a training camp and they'd fired, I mean, they'd cut players and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But to actually have real conversations, and, you know, there are times where I know Mike would see Pete D'Alessandro walk down, Michael would see Pete D'Alessandro walk past his office and then call him. And Michael wouldn't pick up the phone. He's like, dude, you know I'm here. You just walked by my office. I just saw you. If you want to have a conversation, walk down to my office. Like, have a discussion with me. But it was always little jabs like that. So I get it. I just think, you know, if you have a winning coach and you got to have a guy who's led you to a championship and a guy who is super close with your superstar center that's, you know, won 3 MVPs, you might, like, want to make sure that you're making the right decision for you and your franchise long term. And you also might not just want to crumple up a season and throw it away and act like, you know, David Allen.
Oh, no, still championship expectations there.
Of course.
That's what the
expectations.
How's that, though?
What Lil Cronky told us.
Yeah. Good luck with that, David Adelman. I mean, and maybe
yeah,
David,
no pressure.
And, like, look, he's an up and coming coach. He's got potential, but there's nothing that says he doesn't get fired, you know, a week from now, 2 weeks right. from now, when they get bounced from the playoffs. I mean, they could, like, realistically,
they could fall into the play-in.
They could fall in the play-in and not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
After that team was one of the few teams that I think many of us thought had any chance of beating Oklahoma City. Yeah. Most of the teams in the West, you're like, okay, you're good, but you're not going to beat OKC. Mm-hmm. That's the one team where you're like, oh, well, they got a shot. Now they're in disarray, and maybe they respond and they're like, hey, the weight's been lifted. But I don't know. Yeah. That's tough. Yeah.
They never had a shot. But I will say this. I heard something talking about Michael Malone. And he did a interview or something like that. And, you know, I talk about yesterday, I go on this long rant about, you know, maybe not being in touch with reality and getting paid too much. And I saw something from Michael Malone that I thought was great to see. Mm-hmm. And he had talked about something where he said, hey, they were talking about Jokic. And he had said something like, I owe everything to Jokic. Jokic is the reason why I got paid. Jokic is the reason why I'm a championship coach. Jokic is the reason I got to spend the whole time my daughter was in school in one place, and I got to see her. It's him, and it was a level of, I don't want to say self-awareness, because I think he knows his role in that championship run and that 10 years, and it's deserved. He's a hell of a coach. He understands, hey, I do my job, and that's why I'm here, but I'm nothing without one of the greatest players that ever played here in Denver. You know what I mean? And I just thought that was really cool in a moment of, like I said, I don't know if it's necessarily self-awareness, but awareness of the situation that he had in that moment. And, you know, it sucks that it ended when it did and maybe how it did, but he got to spend a lot of time in one place and more time than most coaches get to spend in a spot, because that's just the nature of the job. And, you know, no, salute to him, man. He's a heck of a coach. He'll probably be in San Antonio somewhere or something like that relatively soon and get another opportunity in a heartbeat.
I think it's interesting. The Greg Popovich tree is highly successful, right? It's Mike Brown. It's again, Michael Malone. Mm-hmm. It's Mike Budenholzer. But the thing about them is that they are hard on their players. They coach long practices. They have high expectations. They're on the OCD, you know, like they're worried about the minutia. They drill. They are, you know, on the court, they're really tough. Off the court, they are who they are, right? And I think when you have as much success as Pop has had, that and then you go work for him and you're like, okay, this is how I have to establish myself. You know, have to have a certain persona. You got to be a certain guy in the room. And sometimes that's abrasive, and not every franchise is going to say, okay, you got carte blanche to do whatever you want. And you would figure that 10 years of success and the way that Mike Malone has, you know, been so successful here, that would carry weight. And it did. It got him there. It got him to year 10. That doesn't happen very often. I mean, Rick Adelman got 8 years in Sacramento. We call it the golden age of Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. Michael Malone just coached more than that with the Denver Nuggets. So I think that there is an edge that makes these guys great coaches. But it's also an edge that if you don't have the backing of the organization 100%, that eventually you're going to run yourself out of town because of that. Because it's your way or the highway, and because of the expectations that you put on your players and the demands that you make in practice, the demands that you make in front of the media, all that stuff. I don't have any problems with what Michael Malone said, like in the press. I don't. Like, if guys aren't doing their work and you're going to call them out, not by name, but in a generalized term, hey, like, shots fired. You know who you are, who's not doing the work. Do your work. You know, you can only want it so bad for other people. And, you know, it's like, you can only want it so bad for Reese. There's a point where Reese has got to make his own way. Mm-hmm. As a player, as a student, whatever it is, as an employee down the road, you can only help them and you know, try to get them to a certain spot. And then it's on them to take that next step and to be the person that they're going to be and not be who you want them to be. And so I just think it's tough because coaching in the modern NBA is extremely difficult.
Real quick, two things with that. Number one, you can't, in my opinion, as good as of a coach as, you know, these guys are or whatever, you can't go around not talking to people. You can't go around not communicating with somebody that's supposed to be your partner and think that that's going to be okay. Like that's not a good work environment. And if Mike Malone, Mike Brown, Mark Jackson, when he was in Golden State, is making that decision to behave that way, you're making your own bed to be out of there. Or you just better win at the highest level, like win championships every year. Like, you can't go around doing that. So that's on them. That's a decision that they made to go about situations, regardless if it's right or the justified or whatever. Like, you can't do that. Number two,
Mike Brown never did that in
Sacramento. I'm just naming coaches. Naming coaches. Sorry to Mike Brown, just naming coaches. But the other thing about that is, part of being the coach is understanding the leash that you have with some of those players. Like, you're going to call him out, and he didn't call him out by name, but you're going to call out the locker room the way you did. Number one, I just wouldn't do that. There's no need to do that publicly. I can do that behind closed doors, and we can name names behind closed doors. But putting family business outside, that's not something that – that's not a way I would go about it. Number two, you got to make sure, as Damian would say, your house is in order. Because if you're going out talking about somebody not watching film or anything, every damn play call you make better be on point. Every way that you go about it better be on point. And that's one of the things that we talked about with and once again, I'm just using him as an example as a coach. But when Mike Brown talked about Detroit and he got talked about, hey, I told them this and that to foul, this and that, this and that, this and that. All right, well, you didn't give clear directions. Are we fouling or are we not fouling? You didn't do that. So don't come pointing the finger at me as a player about what I didn't do in that situation when you didn't handle your business. And I'm talking about the Detroit thing. He was like, if they don't turn their back, if they turn their back, foul them. Well, they never turned their back. So, like, be more definitive about what you want us to do. Don't go to the podium telling the people that I didn't do my job when you didn't do your job.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, Keegan Murray stepped up and told us exactly what the coaching staff said. And it was, like, in line with every other player on the court did exactly what they were supposed to do except for one. And it's strange because, again, you can love De'Aaron Fox, you can hate him, but that's not typically De'Aaron to disengage in a play and to make a mistake like that. And he's, like, one of the last people you would expect in that situation to make that mistake. Mm-hmm. Like, I could name 30 other players that have come through Sacramento while De'Aaron Fox has been here that would be like, oh yeah, I could see that guy making that mistake. That wasn't typical.
Well, the way Mike presented, that wasn't the initial mistake. Mike presented it as if somebody asked him, why didn't you foul? You were up three. And he told them, if they turn their back, to foul them immediately. That's what I told them. But we go out there and we just kind of do, we let him, he said it, he was like, we go out there, we let them dribble the ball around, da 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 da. Well, Mike, they never turn their back. You told them if they turn their back to the basket to foul them. If you look at the play, nobody turns their back.
Yeah.
So why are we talking about fouling when you didn't give clear direction? It's not about Mike Brown. It's just about when you go public like that.
Yeah.
You got to make sure your stuff is in a row as well.
Well, he took a huge gamble. And Mike is I probably the only head coach that I've ever covered who very specific outside of George Karl, but who very specifically said player names. Like, very, I was always taken aback when he did because I wasn't used to it. I mean, even when I asked the question about, why no one was coming to the podium, I never expected him to say a media relations staff member. Mm. You know, I never, ever, like, never have I ever heard that from another coach where they ask somebody by name in the room, like, well, why didn't someone else come up to the podium or anything? That's just whatever. Mike has a different way about him that where he did do that and by far called out more players than I ever remember. I mean, like, again, George Karl did it all the time, but it was usually veiled. Like when he called Derek Williams a Coke machine. He didn't say Derek Williams is a Coke machine. He said, you know, looks at the box score and goes, you know, even a Coke machine would get more than one rebound in 33 minutes.
Hang on, guys. Shams just reported that Sacramento Kings guard Malik Monk will be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Saw that coming.
Monk will be reevaluated in 2 weeks due to a left calf strain, sources tell ESPN. At timetable, sidelines Monk averaging career-high 17.2 points per game for the rest of the regular season and the play-in games. Malik Monk is out, and our fear regarding the Terrence Davis signing yesterday has now become reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you hope for the best in those situations, but you hear calf strain and all this other stuff. That's usually not a couple day thing.
That's tough, yeah.
Well, we've said it a million times about calf strain. The calf muscles, what supports the Achilles. Mm-hmm. You do not mess with the calf. If you have a calf strain, you've got to make sure that thing is not only 100%, but that once it's 100% healed, that you have to rebuild the strength in it. to support that Achilles.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, when the Warriors ran Kevin Durant out in the finals and he popped his Achilles after having a calf strain was like one of the most irresponsible things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Malik Monk is out. He will not play the rest of the regular season. He will not play on Wednesday when the Sacramento Kings take on the Dallas Mavericks. The question is, will that game happen here? Will that game happen in Dallas? Sacramento has a great chance to shore up that game happening here in Sacramento tonight if they're able to beat Denver. And Kenny's Los Angeles Lakers are able to get the job done. Against the Dallas Mavericks. That's tough news. Malik hasn't been playing well. But there isn't a situation where I didn't think the Sacramento Kings didn't need him going into a play-in game and even here trying to solidify a home play-in game. It's tough news for Kings fans for sure with Malik out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where we're at. What day would the next play-in game be?
I assume Friday.
Wednesday to Friday,
that would be my guess.
Okay. So, I mean, he'd be likely available.
That's 10 days.
I think if we see Malik Monk again this year, it'll be game three of the first round series.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think we're seeing him in a playing game.
Yep.
Well, that's a downer.
It is.
But they didn't sign Terrence Davis for no reason.
Right.
I mean, it was our first thought when we hey, TD is back. And then it was immediately like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a damn minute.
Yeah, so they obviously knew. Again, James, you said you looked at the film. You didn't see it. It's so weird. Normally you see guys kind of hop around or, you know, at worst they do the foot shake like what's that? And man, that's tough. That's tough for TD, who was struggling. That's tough with Malik. Not TD. Tough for Malik, who was struggling. But guys are going to have to step up now. I don't imagine it'll be Terrence Davis, but maybe Terrence will get an opportunity to run. The Kings very much are still playing for something. That game should be at the Golden 1 Center. It's not like they just got their feet up because the playing spot is clinched. Mm-hmm. Like, they're playing for something. They're playing for home court advantage. And regardless of how good they are on their home court, that's irrelevant. You want that game to be at the Golden 1 Center. You want it to be in front of your home fans. So they're not just going to, hey, let's run out and see if we can get Terrence Davis some minutes tonight. If there's an opportunity for TD to play, especially, James, as you pointed out, with LaRavia out and Keegan Murray out, yeah, take advantage of it. Let him get some run over these next three games. And, you know, who knows? Maybe there's an opportunity against Dallas where you need some shooting, you need some scoring, you need somebody to do something off your bench, and Terrence can be that guy for you.
Real quick, along with Terrence, the Rook, you're going to get some extended minutes too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think at this point, like, you've given Markelle Fultz quite a bit of a opportunity. And Terrence Davis knows the players. He knows Domantas Sabonis. He knows sort of the system. I would not be surprised if we actually saw him and saw Doug give him, you know, 3 minutes to see what he's got. Mm-hmm. And then maybe another 3 minutes if he's got it.
Mm-hmm.
And let him grow from there. I mean, this is a guy who did play 30 games in the G League. And he's a cautionary tale for Malik. Mm-hmm. Hey, Malik, you need to sit there.
Yeah.
And you need to relax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Achilles, repair is just, it's still brutal.
It's tough. Yeah. It's excruciating.
Terrence Davis, he seems like a Doug Christie guy. He seems like a guy that Doug will say, hey, I like your energy, TD. Mm-hmm. Go out there and be TD. Yeah. We'll worry about everything else later. You go out there and be TD.
He's not going to pull him onto the court and say, stand in front of him like this, Terrence. He's not going to do that.
No, I don't think so.
One, Mike was coaching. I'm not criticizing Mike for coaching. Two, Terrence responded on a number of occasions. The funny thing, it felt like it was always happening to Terrence. It felt like it happened. But I mean, Terrence maybe responded twice. It feels like Mike did it 4 or 5 times. And Mike was finally like, all right, I can't do this
anymore. And Mike said, I'm never doing this again. That's why Keon ain't playing.
Yeah. You got to remember, Terrence was here for 3 years. Well, 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those seasons was the Luke Walton season that Doug was an assistant on that staff as well. So, I mean, Doug spent 2 years with him at, and on top of that, the year before, well, the year before was COVID season, where everything was done remotely. So I don't know that Doug would have spent any time with him that year, but certainly the next 2 years.
COVID times.
Oh, man.
The bubble. Vlade would still be here if it wasn't for the bubble.
Everybody, make sure you tapped in on the socials. Bean Money will be available. The lineup is set. I'm going to have that on the socials. Price Picks, $50 instantly when you put your first $5 lineup together. Put that promo code in, KIFM. Promo code KIFM, $50 instantly. You must be present in certain states. Go to PricePicks.com for more details. Back-to-back days. Price Picks. Run your game. Zay is on fire.
Literally the worst Prize Picks read in history. Let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. I set a demon lineup that was trash. Shai Gilgeous was at a demon with 34.5.
Oh,
bro got to 42.
Oof.
The only demon that hit. They had Trey Young at 11.5. 10.
Assists?
Yeah.
I saw that. I saw that and I thought about you.
Steph was 31.5. He only made it to 25. Luka was at 34.5. Of course, he got thrown out. Prize Picks, run your game or get tossed. We'll see you here tomorrow. Get run. Yes, indeed. We'll see you here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.